It's always such a joy coming here. Every year, it's awesome. My girls look forward to this trip that we do every year. Like you would not believe. They have a chart in their room that they made, and it counted off the days. I think it started from like 3 weeks ago until now. That might be why they're a little extra crazy here. but they're wild, but I love them to death. but I did want to thank this church so much for just encouraging us every time we come. It's just a breath of fresh air, you know? It's, an encouragement, especially when, you know, the mission field can be hard. It can be really hard at times. And so coming here just gives us an extra boost that we need and when we need it. And I also wanted to thank Jenny, which I think she's actually in the nursery, for housing us. I know it's a lot. We have a mini kindergarten, but it's been great. And also thank you, Jenny, for taking care of my daughter in the nursery. before I start, I wanted to clear something up because I keep getting this question every single day, multiple times. Number 5 is not on the way. So no, just clearing that up. No. So I just wanted to make that publicly. No. and another question that I keep getting is, how is Lila doing? And thankfully, she's doing really well. The Lord has just been a bountiful and merciful and just gracious. I don't think she's gotten sick since that whole ordeal happened, you know. So I think she woke up even crazier than before. But I'm thankful for it, and I don't take it for granted. I wanted to share just really briefly a couple of things that the Lord has really been teaching me the past year and a half, and like the whole thing with Lila too, and just some other things that working in the ministry, you know, happen. And I want to go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, sometimes in the ministry, at least with me personally, I've gotten to a point sometimes where I'm just tired. You know, I'm tired, I'm weary, tired of trying, tired of being faithful, tired of trying to hold everything together on my own, tired of praying without seeing answers, prayers, answers, and tired of seeing serving without seeing much fruit, you know, tired of clinging to God when it seems like things are just getting worse rather than better. And it's hard to persevere in seasons like that. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be a major crisis that happens for us to get weary. Sometimes it's simply just, you know, the daily things, the routines, you know, especially me in my season right now, the routines, my goodness. Every single day doing the same thing over and over, it gets exhausting, you know. And it's just the responsibilities, the constant pouring out. And little by little bit, discouragement tends to come in and whisper, what's the point of all of this? You know, what's the point of doing this? Of keep doing this, keep washing dirty clothes, keep, you know, sweeping the floor, if in an hour later it's just going to get dirty again, you know? And comparing it to the Bible is amazing because the Lord speaks to you in just the perfect way and timing. And the Bible has a word for that feeling, and it's to faint. And so I immediately thought of Paul, who I think knew exactly what that felt like. I mean, from the moment that Christ called him into the ministry, until the day he basically met his Savior, he lived a life full of struggles. And his ministry was marked by true sufferings. And so in 2 Corinthians, it gives us one of the clearest pictures of what faithful ministry often looks like. And so in 2 Corinthians 1, in verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. We have had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which sustaineth the dead. Paul wasn't pretending that everything was fine. I think it's important that he admitted there were seasons when the burden was just greater than his own strength. And then if we could go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. starting in verse 24. It says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. And the journeyings often in pairs of waters, in pairs of robbers, in pairs of mine own countrymen, in pairs by the heathen, in pairs in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in pairs in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Last verse, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches, of all the churches. So here we see that he was five times beaten with 39 stripes, three times beaten with rods, stoned, shipwreck, hungry, cold, in danger, basically everywhere he went. And beyond all of that, at the last verse, it says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And so I'm just like, can you imagine? Can you imagine being called into the ministry in that degree? Yet that's the life that God called him to. And Paul also reminded Timothy in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. You know, the Christian life was never promised to be easy on this side of heaven. I mean, the Bible is very clear in that we're going to have problems. We're going to have persecutions. We're going to have letdowns. We're going to maybe even fall into depression. We're going to be scared at times. But, you know, faint not. And so in 2 Corinthians, if we could go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And then in verse, same chapter in verse 16, it says, for which cause we faint not. But through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How could Paul honestly say that after everything he had suffered? It just boggles my mind. It blows my mind. I don't understand it. But the answer is found throughout this chapter. So I came up with 4 points that really just bless my heart and open my eyes. And the first one is, we faint not because we have received mercy. And in verse 1, it says, therefore seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Paul doesn't say we faint not because we're strong or because we can handle it. He says we faint not because we have received this mercy. The mercy that saved me, the same mercy that called me, is the same mercy that sustains me and will sustain me until the day I meet Christ. God never calls me to do something without supplying the mercy to fulfill it. And what a promise, what a joy that we have a God that cares that much. If God has called you, whether it's to be a wife, be a mother, he will give you the mercy to love your husband, and he will give you the mercy to raise your children. If he has called you to serve in your church, whether it's teach a class, disciple other women, work a job, or serve in the mission field, he will provide the mercy that you need regardless. His mercy is also another cool thing, is that his mercy isn't just a one-time gift. In the book of Lamentations, it says, his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Every morning, there is a fresh supply of mercy. So when yesterday's strength is gone, today's mercy is already waiting for you. And it's important for me to understand that I need it. I need to receive it. And I also need to thank him for it, but also depend on it. Depend on this mercy. And then the second point is, we faint not because the treasure is Christ, not us. And in verse 7 it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And I think Paul knew that he was just an earthen vessel, a clay pot, weak, fragile. The treasure wasn't Paul. The treasure was Christ. And sometimes, you know, I may faint. I begin to think everything depends on me sometimes, but God never intended it to be that way. His work, you know, I'm sorry. He delights in displaying his power through weak people. And the excellency of the power is of God and not of me. And I cling to that because I am one of the weakest. And then my third point is, we faint not because I know the resurrection is certain. And in verse 14 it says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ shall raise up us also by Jesus. And I think Paul knew this world was going to end. You know, death isn't the final chapter, isn't our final chapter, and suffering isn't forever. The resurrection changes everything for me. It changes everything for all of us. No sacrifice made for Christ is ever wasted. And then my fourth point and final point is, we faint not because we live for eternity. And in verse 16, it says, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. Isn't that just, it warmed my heart. It encouraged me. And God never promises that the outward man won't perish. You know, we grow weary. We grow older, as Brother Corey explained yesterday. We experience pain. We carry burdens. But while the outward man is perishing, God is renewing the inward man every single day. Then Paul writes, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And you know, dwelling on that phrase, but for a moment, after reading everything that he went through, it's like, light affliction? Like, are you serious? Are you aware of everything that you just went through? And so how could Paul call it light? Because in my opinion, I think it's because he wasn't comparing it with someone else's suffering. He was comparing it with eternity. When compared with the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, even the hardest trials become momentary. And then Paul continues, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now my tendency is often to fix my eyes on what I can't see, you know, what I know is there. But then the unanswered prayers, the difficult people, the discouragement, the loneliness, the lack of visible fruit. But Paul says our eyes must be fixed on what is unseen. The things we see are temporal. The things we cannot see are eternal. Pain is temporary. The glory is everlasting. The suffering does have an end, and the glory will never end. Paul was, you know, I think it's important also for me when I was dealing with the whole situation with Lila, I had to admit that it was overwhelming. I had to come to God and say, God, this is too much. You know, it's too much for me to bear on my own. It's too much for me to carry this. And even though I knew God was there and I know he was sustaining me, but I had to come and admit it, you know, by word, you know. And it just changed everything because you just surrender everything to God and you admit that you need him. And it's important to take any kind of discouragement to our God, to ask him to renew our inner man, to ask him to help me look beyond just today or that moment, and to ask him to remind me of that mercy that he gives so freely every single day. And then if we could turn to one final verse in Galatians 6. Galatians 6:9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Notice the promise. Not if life is easy, not if the ministry is comfortable, if we faint not. The God who called me has not left me. His mercy is sufficient. His power is sufficient. His promises are certain. His glory is coming. So keep serving, keep praying, keep loving, keep trusting your God. And when discouragement whispers that it's time to quit, remember Paul's words, for which cause we faint not. Amen. Amen.